The following lecture was recorded at the Menninger Foundation in Topeka, Kansas, May 5th, 1970.
I would begin this evening with a brief statement of the subject matter. And I thought that rather than my saying it, I would say it through a few other eyes. First, we'll start with Dante in Divine Comedy. I have been in that heaven the most illumined by light from him, and seen things which to utter he who returns hath neither skill nor knowledge. For as it nears the object of its yearning, our intellect is overwhelmed so deeply, it can never retrace the path that it followed. But whatsoever of the holy kingdom was in the power of memory to treasure will be my theme until the song is ended. Walt Whitman. Swiftly arose and spread around me the place, the peace and joy and knowledge that passes all the art and argument of the earth. And I know that the hand of God is the elder hand of my own. And I know that the Spirit of God is the eldest brother of my own. And that all the men ever born are also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers. And that a kelson of creation is love. Robert Browning. Truth lies within ourselves. It takes no rise from outward things, whate'er you may believe. There is an inmost center in us all, where truth abides in fullness. And to know rather consists in opening out a way whence the imprisoned splendor may escape, than in effecting entry for a light supposed to be without. Finally, Ralph Waldo Emerson. A man is the facade of a temple wherein all wisdom and all good abide. What we commonly call man, the eating, drinking, counting, planting man, does not, as we know him, represent himself, but misrepresents himself. Last evening, here in Topeka, as one of the journeyers on a path, a very, very old path, the path of consciousness, I, in a sense, met with the Explorers Club to tell about the geography I had been mapping. Because the people who gather to hear somebody called Baba Ram Das, formerly Richard Alpert, have somewhere at some level in some remote corner some involvement in this journey. And all that I can see that we can do with one another is share notes of our explorations. And I can say, watch out, because around that bend, the road falls off sharply to the left. Stay far over on the right when you do that. The motivation for doing this is most interesting. It's only to work on myself. It's very easy to break attachments to worldly games when you're sitting in a cave in the Himalayas. It's quite a different take you do of sex, power, money, and fame, and sensual gratification in the middle of New York City or in the United States with television and loving people around and great cooks and advertising and total support for all of the attachments. But there's the story of a monk who got very holy up in the mountain until he had some thousands of followers. And after many years, he went down into a city, and he was in the town, and somebody jostled him. And he turned around angrily. And that anger was a mark of how little work he had really done on himself. That for all the work he had done, he still hadn't cooked the seed of anger. He still got uptight when somebody pushed him around. So that what I see my own, what's called sadhana is, that is my work on my own consciousness, could also be called my spiritual journey, is very much cyclic. There are periods of going out and there are periods of turning back in. Periods of going out, periods of turning back in. Just as living here in the marketplace is forcing things into the forefront, so sitting in a room by myself for 30, 40 days in a mountain is forcing other things to be confronted. And each hides from the other. Each environment hides from the other sets of stimulus conditions. So I see that, for example, in the commune we've been designing up in the mountains of New Mexico, where I ran an ashram for a while this winter, it's designed in, has four components to it, which are roughly related to the solstices. That for one period, a person would be in the hermitage on the top of the hill, where they would be going deep, diving deep within. They would be totally alone, in solitude, in a hermitage. Their food is left outside the door. And the one I ran this winter, people would go in for up to 19 days. And the first time they went in, I let them take books and pictures and weaving and all of their things and their pet kind of cream cheese or whatever it was they needed. The second round, we changed the game a little, and all they took in was their sleeping bag. And to walk into a room, close the door with your sleeping bag for the next 10 days. There's a fire and wood and food's left outside and there's a jug of water. There's nowhere you need to go. You're all protected, taken care of. No phones to answer, no mail. It's all taken care of for you. We're protecting you and giving you that chance to get free of all the stimuli that keep capturing your consciousness all the time. So you keep saying, if it weren't for, well, we're doing that. If it weren't for, we're creating that place. And a second part of the four-point cycle is that a person lives in the commune, an ashramite lives in the commune. That is, he takes care of the gardens, the babies, the goats, cooks the food, chops the wood, does karma yoga. The karma yoga among what's called satsang or sangha, that is, the community of other beings who consciously know they are working on their own consciousness. In Buddhism, there is a traditional thing you do, which is take the three refuges. The chant is Buddham Saranam Gacchami, Dharmam saranam gacchami. Sangam saranam gacchami. Which means,